Welcome to That Creator Life, a show where we discuss the process, the struggles, and the wins of content creation. My name is Zach. I'm a YouTuber and content strategist helping you start your journey. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. We have a very special guest today. Ivory, how are you doing?
I'm awesome. Happy to be here.
Thank you for being on the show. This is about content creation. And when we talked about Polywork, I really was excited to look at your profile and what you were doing. But before letting me like talk about you, can you tell the audience about your work and what you do?
Yeah. I do social media content for small business owners. And we work on a lot of the common platforms that we're all really excited to know about. And we help them build their brand on social media.
That's awesome. Is there something you want to share with us about your content creation platform? Which platform you basically focus on when you create content?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. Social media, in my opinion, is all about who is the cool kid on the block. And that is always changing. We've seen some platforms come and dominate. We've seen some platforms come, get really peaked in the system, and then just fall off. They just fell off the face of the earth. And so when you're a business owner, you want to go where the eyeballs are, essentially. And so right now, TikTok is the hot platform. It is in a high growth state. And the way their algorithm works, it's actually getting you so much more organic traffic. And it's really seeking to help you find your ideal audience. So most clients that I work with, we start on TikTok. I always tell them, hey, we're going to start where the eyeballs are. And I always get comments like, oh my goodness, the dancing app. Now I'm going to have to dance.
Yeah.
And I always say, no, you do not have to dance. That's the thing about social media. There is a show called Sex and the City. And there was an episode, and it's going to come full circle in a second. There was an episode where Samantha, who is a publicist, had a model named Smith Jarrett. Smith was trying to become famous. She advised him to take what was like a risky photo, ended up on a billboard, and he was embarrassed. And anyway, he goes to her and he's, I just don't think this is happening. My grandma's embarrassed. My mom's like sitting here trying to explain to people at church what's going on. And she said, just wait. First comes the gays, then comes the teens, then comes Hollywood. So then he's out on New York Times Square. And then all these teens, well, first a guy approaches him and he's, oh, I saw you in this ad. And he's, okay. So that was the gays. And then he's out in New York Times Square. And these teens all run up to him and they're trying to get his autograph. Sometimes you need guidance in this process. Sometimes you need somebody who's already seen the process work to know what it looks like. And I think many business owners get nervous about hopping on a new platform or stepping out of themselves because they want to make sure, one, the effort is worth it, but two, are they getting in front of their audience? And TikTok on the front end may look like a dancing app, but we all know that business owners have been getting clients by the dozens on TikTok. And when you pivot yourself correctly in your genre, you are really able to get in front of your audience and build even a more loyal following and build your brand exposure.
That's awesome, because that's actually what I tell my audience as well about different platforms. But if we look back at YouTube, initially it was just like cat videos, but now people are making business from their YouTube channel and like having an empire from it. So it's just the Absolutely. Same thing, but people sometimes forget about what happened.
Yes. So it never looks the same. And you just want to make sure you hop in there at the right state. Like you mentioned, YouTube and then cat videos. Instagram went through a similar thing. It's what created the influencer culture. So all of these platforms go through these stages. And now that we've had the benefit of being able to see some of these stages with platforms like Facebook and YouTube and Instagram, now we're getting, okay, the life cycle of these social media platforms. And for business owners, my company, we like to look at when is the best time to get in there. And at that hyper growth state, that's just when you're really going to get the most bang for your buck. The algorithm's going to be working in your favor and really pushing you out and building up your audience with you.
Awesome. I'm curious to ask you, in your approach with your clients or even with your own social media workflow, do you focus on one platform or do you go everywhere like the Gary Vee style?
Yeah. So Even though TikTok is where I have them start, and I have them start there, one, because majority of the trends you're seeing, they're originating from TikTok. Things that I hop on Instagram now and look at, I'm like, but we was doing that a month ago. Like these sounds we're hearing, these are old now. So it's not about not leveraging that. When you're trying to market your business, you don't want to have a solitary. I always talk to business owners about making sure you magnify your efforts. And part of how you do that is with social media. A lot of times I meet really good entrepreneurs. They're great at running their business, but maybe they're not the best at marketing their business. And the efforts that they're making is on one platform. And let's say they're on Facebook, which we know you should have a Facebook page, but it's not going to get the traction not on any, compared to any of the other platforms because of the stage they're at. They are the juggernaut, what I call the old head, and they get to be a lot more pay for play. And so my strategy with them, while it's different, I don't not utilize them because I can take the same content that I'm making for TikTok and repurpose that for each of the other platforms. Might as well get it out there. It's already been made.
Absolutely. And I think there are like maybe three platforms or three like formats that are exactly the same as TikTok: Instagram Reels, Facebook Reels, and YouTube Shorts. So basically, if you can create one video, it's easy to repurpose it to these short format tools.
Absolutely. We have clients that literally just send us their raw videos. So we have clients I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, outside of Atlanta. All they do is send us their raw video. Hey, I always tell them, just send us the raw footage. We'll break it down. We'll get it so where we have the sound bites we need for each of the respective platforms and make sure that it's hitting the mark for whatever is the niche or the angle you need to come at on that platform.
That's great. Ivory, can we dive deeper into the process that you use to create those, let's say, micro content with your agency? Is there any software or tool that you focus on when you're creating short videos?
So we use a number of tools, but mostly just video editing software is obviously the
Which
best
one thing. Is your favorite?
So we're kind of old school. I use Adobe.
Adobe, okay.
Yeah. I tried a couple of others. And at one point I was just doing it when I started on my phone. But then you're trying to repurpose for each of the platforms. And this is something I've noticed, and I don't know if you've noticed this, if they are starting to check if the video is coming or using some of the graphics from another platform. And yep, I've noticed when you upload it, they'll create a lag. They'll do a lot of things where the sound is off, and you're looking at it like, oh my goodness, I just spent an hour editing down this video in the app.
Yeah, actually, that's so true. I just saw, I think it was Instagram. They did a kind of like a blog post about what not to do, and it was like written in big kind of like letter type that you do not use TikTok videos. Like they actually said that. Like they can, their AI can read. Yeah.
Yeah, no. Sure. And so I have been stressing to my clients, listen, it's going to get harder and harder because social media platform, this is a competitive market. They realize that, hey,
it's a war out there.
It's a war for the eyeballs, and they don't want to be advertising their competitors. And that's what ends up happening. And especially with TikTok having such strong growth right now, one of the things that I think like limits Facebook is that it's all about your network, your inner network and people. But if you're trying to reach somebody out of your network, it now becomes very difficult. And that, I think, is where a lot of business owners get stuck because they may be in a whole different genre from where they grew up, or maybe their family and friends aren't their market. So now they're trying to get into another genre. And I've tried to literally go on Instagram and be conscious about what I'm engaging with. And I'm always amazed at how the algorithm just chooses what it wants to show me versus TikTok. In my opinion, it's just been right on the money. Like they have literally been like, oh, you want this? I got you. We got about 1,200 people talking about this. We'll keep pushing out what you want to see. And so there's a big difference in what's happening and how you're engaging on the platform. And it's important to be very conscious as much as you can about what you're watching and what data points you're giving the algorithm. as to how they're feeding into you what content you're going to see.
Yeah, which brings us to the question of like, how do you go about in those creative pieces from the raw output input? So how do you get those kind of creative ideas? Because that's been a challenge for my audience and for me as well. Sometimes you see a really cool video and you maybe the music is a bit catchy and you want to apply the same thing to a different kind of like topic or different thing. And sometimes that doesn't really work. So how do you go about getting to that creative process?
Yeah, no, that's a phenomenal question. I have a couple of philosophies. The first is honestly to not overthink it. We could beat ourselves on top of the head, right? Rethinking, overthinking, overanalyzing this perfect sound and I need this and that to happen.
What's the secret sauce, whatever.
Yes. And while there are some formats that I've seen that, okay, I see these get more views. I see these get more engagements. What I have found is that it ends up being more of a little bit of luck meshed with just something that is really identified, the audience is really identifying with. And with my clients, I've had videos go viral. I'm going to be honest, it's never been the one that I've overthought. It's never been the one that we've overplanned. It's always been the one where I'm like, I just put up a video and I was like, hey, 60 seconds, let me go talk about this, throw this in here, and then just shoot it out there. And I'm just like, it's now in the interwebs. Let it do what it do.
It's so crazy. I had a similar story on YouTube. Like I posted like a short 15-second video and it was like, I don't even want to do this. I'm just going to try it. And I woke up the next day, it was like 150,000 views. I was like, really? I did not even think about it. I don't want it to go viral because just like a test, I'm testing something. It's wow.
Yes. And that actually speaks to another thing that sometimes you'll go viral and it may not be for exactly the thing that you wanted to go viral for. That is a whole nother ball of worms. But I've had clients encounter that and they're like, oh my goodness. Now I got to make all these videos about X. I don't want to talk about X. That was just a random video. But I think sometimes that naturalness comes through and you're creating so much video content. It's really more important just to push it out. And the more you do it, the more comfortable you get in front of the camera and the more you're able to just
the volume.
Yes. The volume is important and just let it do what it is going to do. Listen to the audience when they're telling you what they want, because you may find, like you said, you did that 15-second video. That might have been a key in on what your audience is wanting to see from you.
Okay, that's great, because it takes a lot of time to actually find what kind of video will work for you and finding that kind of connection with the audience. And sometimes with my clients, my audience, whatever, like I get a lot of like questions about, hey, I got this video really working well, but that's not really what I want to do with my channel or with my TikTok or Instagram. And it's like, the big question is like, how do I find what I like to do kind of align with what the audience or the marketplace want? And that's the big kind of struggle for all content creators, is to kind of align those. And that's the sweet spot, right?
Everybody, absolutely. All of us struggle with that, guys. So never feel like you're alone in that struggle. Believe me, there's what we want to do. There's what the audience wants to see. And then there's finding that line in between. I'm always studying really popular creators to just get an idea of what are they doing really well. I was dragged back. I'm like doing research. I want to drag back to when they first started doing.
Yeah, I do the same.
I want to see what the evolution is. And a lot of what I see is that they did try different things. They tried different formats until they started getting more traction. And then usually you'll see a video or two that starts to gain traction and then them pivot in that direction.
In most cases, I don't know if you've seen this, but in most cases, if you look back at what they've been doing, you can see like they have 7 years or maybe 8 years of like really stagnant growth. And then the last 1 or 2 years, they pick up and people like only see the result and they're like, oh, these guys, they have it so easy. And, oh, no, they've been working hard for like 5-6 years until things start to pick up. It's not like from day one, they've been growing like exponentially. So people really overlook that.
Oh, absolutely. I completely agree. And one of the things that I always counsel my clients about, because especially for those who are nervous in front of the camera, they're not used to putting themselves in center stage like that, typically how it works actually is in your favor. So the portion of it that you're super nervous, you're uncomfortable in front of the camera, you're fumbling over your words, whatever's happening, you typically don't have that many followers. So all the blunders actually dissipate because they're not having that much impact. But what is happening is you're developing your skill and your comfort in front of the camera. And that is coming through. And then more people are encountering your content as you're developing. And then by the time you're starting to blow up, now you have this comfort level where you're, let me hop on real quick. And so it kind of, I call it a double-edged sword, because we want the content to go viral quickly for most people, but then also we're nervous because we're like, what if I mess up? What if this happened? And in today's society, I think this is never an easier time to get more brand exposure, to get your brand out there. And we have to take advantage of it. There was a time you had to do a billboard, you had to do a radio ad, you had to be in a magazine, and you had to be passing out business cards. You don't even have to do that now. Like now you can literally sit in your office, in your home, or wherever, make your thing, do whatever it is your business does, and just make a video of it. I have a whole list of videos that of businesses that I track that I respect how well they're utilizing social media. And so I always like to use that. And these can be clients of mine or not clients of mine, because I think we gather inspiration from wherever it comes. But it's always just to bring people in on what's happening and the opportunity that's being missed based on fear, and the opportunity that they could be exactly where they want to be, but they are going to have to take a step out there into the unknown.
Which all the content creators in the world suffer from, I think, is the imposter syndrome, right? Like we want to create things that come to us naturally, but then it's always the question of, oh, whether people are going to like it or not. Am I being a fake kind of person? Is it authentic or not? So I think the challenge is always kind of having to deal with your internal demons before you have to face the world outside, and practicing and putting yourself out there. There is no other way around it. You have to actually face the fear and get to it. It's not one day you're going to wake up and you're like ready. No, you have to go through it.
This is literally it. And you're correct. We have to, I always say, I feel like entrepreneurship does this as well. The person you are when you start your entrepreneurial journey is not the same person that's going to get you to that next level. And so many times we are confronted with our limiting beliefs and what we need to adjust in our minds so that we can step into the person we need to be in order to reach our next level. And social media is, it's a bit of a monster in the sense that it helps you build out your personality, helps you build out who you're going to be, who your presence is going to be out there. But I always push back a little bit on the imposter syndrome, because is it really imposter syndrome? Or is this just you're having self-doubt? You're thinking the next person knows that much more than you. And there's a young lady, actually, I can't think of her name. So, but she does these TikToks where she goes and she's in this nice cardigan, and her hair is perfectly laid, and she has a really nice watch. But she points these things out. She says, I'm actually a very lazy person. I don't know a lot of things, but she said, I notice when I wear this, people encounter me differently. People assume
perception. Things.
Yes. And the perception is that I'm very knowledgeable. I'm always working and all this. She said, my personality couldn't be further from that. But I realized that when I do this, now that perception is put out there and more opportunities are afforded to me. So it's all about navigating, and not necessarily not being yourself, but you just want to navigate the path of getting out there and just getting yourself comfortable in front of the camera. We have clients, and I always mention this as well to potential clients, is that I have clients that we've taken from a couple hundred followers to over 100,000, okay? And the set of issues that you're worried about at 100 followers versus in the six figure of followers is completely different. You think you're critical now, wait till there are a bunch of people in the comments just eating you up. They're just going in there. That comes with the fame. That comes
with the internet is a wide place, really wide.
It, It literally is. And there are people who spend all their time trying to find the negative. So you want to have had yourself in a strong place so that when these things come, it's salt over the shoulder. What's that saying? It's not something that you're even stressed about, though, because essentially these people do not know you. And I always say how people engage with you is really more a reflection of them than of you. And so you develop that all in the process. And so allowing yourself to grow and hit those walls and then climb over them, that's how you get to your next level. That's how you take your business to the next level. And that's how you get more comfortable on social media so that you're attracting people to you. Because somebody wants to hear from you. Somebody wants to hear from you about what you do and the very things that you think are boring and you're overlooking and you're like, oh, nobody wants to see that. There was a fish company that they actually send, they're in Seattle. They send fish everywhere. I didn't realize all over the nation here in the US, they send fish. And he was saying in one video how they had all these ideas on what was going to be popular. Their most popular video is just them packing an order. People like are enthralled by it and they can do it again and again and they keep getting the same results. And he was just like, this is what people want to see. And that was the thing that we were going to overlook because we thought nobody wants to, who wants to see that?
Yeah, that's what happened to me when my mentor told me something interesting, because I had this problem before, like feeling I'm not an expert in this because I know some stuff, but I'm not the best or the top expert. So I feel like I'm not willing to share, or like I need more, I need to learn more to deserve that place where I'm able to share. And he told me something interesting. He said, don't think about it in terms of levels, like you're here and he's there or whatever. Think about it in terms of time. So you're going to teach somebody who's 6 months behind you or 7 months or 1 year. So it's about time. It's like you learn something in 1 day or 2 days or 1 week or 1 month or 1 year. So you know more than the person that's still in that stage, and you can teach them that. Once I got that in my head, it was like, oh, now it makes sense. I feel comfortable about this.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I think what you just said is phenomenal. And I think as human beings, we underestimate that. We underestimate where the mindset of somebody is at day one versus at day 551. The amount of knowledge that you have for them is like mind blowing. I also think we receive information differently. So I'm a mom of two. Sometimes you can say something to your kid and them not listen, but somebody else say the same exact thing and it's, oh my goodness. And you're like,
perception again.
Yes. Sometimes we have to hear it from someone else. Sometimes we have to hear it from somebody different in a different voice, maybe that somebody that we resound with in a different way, because we're going to take in the information differently. So I always tell people, we're nowhere near having enough content creators. We're nowhere near having enough people educating others, because the next generation, they're looking to what we're putting out there. There's a saying, our floor is their ceiling. So we have to make sure we're giving back, especially in this day and age, because there's so much misinformation out there. And so there's so much misguidance. And I find that especially being in the marketing world, sometimes they go too far, or they're deceptive, and they're intentionally deceptive because they know what trigger words people want to hear. They feed upon certain behaviors, or because they know that their audience may be more naive and they take advantage of that. And we see that all the time. I was watching YouTube and they were talking about some creators who had pretty much almost stolen people's money. So they're not even giving product or access to courses or all these things.
The crypto scams. Yeah.
Yeah. Listen,
there's
a Netflix documentary I just watched. I thought, oh my goodness, people are literally sometimes very moralist. And for me, that always encourages me to keep going, because for the people who are super greedy, believe me, they're not stopping. They're going to trudge down that road with a level of determination that we all need to have in our lives. And we have to realize that if we give up on our dreams and speaking about the things that have been impressed upon our heart to speak about, then that means I'm allowing the bad guy to get up in front of them and that be all they see. And so your presence is very necessary. Each generation, we need a new presence. And so that's why I'm passionate about that.
Yeah, that's awesome advice. Because once you build a real, authentic relationship with your audience or your client, they can really can see through that. They can see that you're there to help them. And even though maybe you get some backlash or some people try to bring you down, but because you're authentic and you're true to yourself and to your clients, like people know that, like nobody can just shake you down. And it's about long-term relationship. And I've seen, it's funny that you talk about those kind of creators that do the scam thing or like they try to money from their audience quickly. It's always come back full circle because they usually tend to really destroy their reputation. It's really hard for them to go back again and do the same thing. And what happens is that I'm a believer in karma in a way. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It's the universe or life is always working with some basic rules that if you do, this will happen. And trying to build something quickly, no matter what it is, a business or social media platform, whatever, it's usually not the recipe for long-term success. And a lot of people really not appreciate this. A lot of people don't appreciate it, especially when it comes to social media growth, because they see the success, the results, and they want the same. But really working hard on something for a long time can bring the result that you want to stay with when you're like in your 50s, 60s, you're that kind of person. People know you for that, not just somebody that does something in 5 years or 2 years, and then your whole life is destroyed after that. So it's all come back to the idea of long-term versus short-term gain.
Yes, no, absolutely. And there's a saying that overnight success takes about 7 years. We have to be careful with media in general because they have all these snazzy headlines that allude to a quick success or allude to how this person scaled from this to this in less than 6 months. And a lot of times what I find is when you start reading the article and piecing together what's being said, and sometimes not what's not being said, but mm-hmm. It's obvious, you realize that there's a lot more to the story. And then you realize that the headline literally is just to capture the attention. Same thing with YouTube, the titles that they use. Some stuff, we've all been there, we've clicked on something because of the title and maybe that first screen, people know that. You see that first screen image and you click on it and then you get there and it's not even what the actual content has nothing to do with that. But what they did well was creating a catchy title. What they did real was creating that image that makes it stick out in your mind to click. But where they made distrust is in making sure that in offering out content that does not align. And yeah. When you're looking to create a career at this, when you're looking to be able to, I hate when I see creators say, oh, I created this course and I made X amount of dollars, because your courses are like the whole thing now. I made X amount of dollars in 7 days. And odds are that was not the case. Odds are, and I've researched a number of these guys, odds are they fed an audience. That means they really worked with one audience on a specific topic for years. They built that audience. And then they launched a course. And then they talk about that one point at which they launched the course. But really, what more importantly happened was they spent the years building up the audience, building up the trust so that when they launched their course, people were hungry. People were like, oh, yeah, absolutely. I want your stuff, girl. And now they have to sell this course. But now they want to reach a new audience, especially the course creation courses, like a course on how to create a course.
Yeah.
Now they have to sell an audience and they are now looking at. And guys, we have to always reverse engineer the process. What do they want? They want to sell courses. What do they know is one of the big questions that people are asking themselves? I don't even have an audience. Okay, so let me shoot that down. You don't need an. They're going to say the thing. And unfortunately.
Or my favorite one is like when they show the sales figure, but not the net profit. But sometimes they're actually losing money. And it's, wow, I made like $1 million. Really? Like how much of that is actually net profit? And it's, these kind of tactics are, they always come from the scam world. And it's not something that, unfortunately, like you said, some people fall for that. Like it's like human nature. People see those numbers and they just, it's very captivating and attracting to them. But you, like I said before, if you build a strong relationship with your audience that it's based on trust, on truth, on honesty, things will go well for you no matter what others are doing. Doesn't matter.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, one of the things that I always say is, listen, you're not the first person needing and wanting to make money like yesterday, right? Believe me, everybody has been trying everything. And what has remained true over time is certain principles. And the fact of the matter is you have to put in the work. There is no quick way without a consequence. And we see people having to bear the consequences of their actions all the time. And also, you have to think about what your overall goal is. All the time you spend trying to find the quicker way, you probably could have just put in the work. You could probably could have just been making the videos. You probably could have just been building the audience and getting literally to the same place. The biggest thing I always think about, if I could tell myself in my 20s, because I feel like I had all the ambition, but none of the patience, is that it's going to come. You just got to stay consistent. Yep. But you don't get to say when it comes. We don't get to choose when that day becomes, when success hits us. We only get to choose the amount of effort we put in and what direction we go in. So if you are on your path and you're consistent, it's down that path, but you have to stay consistent. And I talk to also most people entrepreneur-wise that are looking to build their brand on social media, and those who are posting, one of the biggest things that I see them not doing is be consistent. Yep. And it's, if you're not in front of your audience, believe me, people are thinking about you way less than you're thinking about them. And it's a blessing and a curse, because like I mentioned with the videos, it helps, because that means when you mess up and stuff, most people, you've thought about it 1,200 times. Nobody else has thought about it. But on the other side, if you're not posting, then somebody else is being pushed in front of them. The algorithm's going to push somebody else to replace that spot that you're in. It's the same thing in TV.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. In TV, when somebody retires, right? Everybody's thinking, what's going to be the next show? If people have this void now from the Oprah show, went and she started her own network and everything. There was a void because there were just all this whole audience she had that now had somebody else could step in, essentially take over that audience to an extent.
And that's what really got me interested in this kind of philosophy of whether you should focus on the results or focus on the process. And I think something that Ali Abdaal, I don't know if you know him, he's a YouTuber discussing like productivity and personal development, and something that I start to implement from his advice, to especially for with my audience, to start to focus on the process goals instead of the results goals. So instead of saying, I want to reach 10,000 subscribers after 2 months, you say, oh, in 2 months, I want to make 20 videos or 25 videos, because the results are, especially with social media, are not really guaranteed. And they tend to be a little bit exaggerated. We want 100 million, 100,000, 100 million, whatever. And that sometimes put us in a mindset of, if I don't get this, I feel disappointed. And that's not the right way. But if you focus on the process, like you said, keep pushing the content, be consistent, 20 videos a month, or have a number that you want to stick to in terms of creating instead of just the result, that can make a huge difference. And I've seen it with myself, with my clients, and the audience in general. Like when they start to implement this, it's a great strategy.
Absolutely. I wrote a book earlier this year called A Tenacious Spirit, and it's an inspiring.
Oh, that's awesome. Congrats.
Yes. So it's an inspiring entrepreneur's guide to mindset, process, and the execution of their ideas. But one of the things that I talk about in this book is Harvard did a study, because I went through this period in my 20s where I was like, what is happening? Like, why do we set out on goals and then somehow we stop or we get skewed in a different direction? It happens to everyone. And I don't think any of us start out with the idea that we're going to quit. We really believe we're going to see it through. But there's something happening, right, in the process that we're missing the mark. And so I got really obsessed with this. I started doing all this internet research, came upon this Harvard study, and they actually looked literally at this. And they had a group of individuals that they all set to a task. They didn't go into what the task was, but they set them all to the task. And out of the, I believe it was like 30 individuals who did this, only 3 actually accomplished the goal. And when they went through and reviewed the process and what everybody focused on in trying to get to this goal, they realized that the 3 did all the same thing. They focused on the process, not the goal.
Nice.
And because they focused on the process, they got engrossed in what needed to be done to get where they wanted to go versus being focused just on that end result. And I think for many, it feels like it's not a big shift. It is a huge shift. It's how, honestly, I've been able to grow. I have a social media marketing firm. I actually have two other companies as well, because I was able to readjust my mind to think about what I want to do in my life in that way and focus on the process. And you realize we all have the same number of hours in a day, right? When you get around highly productive people, then you become a lot more conscious about, oh my goodness, okay, maybe this is where I'm losing time. Maybe this is where I can clean things up, or maybe this is where I need to be adjusting things some. But the process is super important. I was trying to find a bigger word, but it is so critical to your success. There are Olympians who also talk about this, but they say the same thing. When they get up and go to practice every day, their focus is on that practice. It's not so much I'm going to the Olympics. Excuse me. It's not so much they're going to the Olympics, but their focus is on the practice that day, that swim they're going to do, putting on their shoes. It's all those little things, because they realize that is the culmination of what's going to get them there. And having that tunnel vision to fall in love.
Yeah, it's like what you did with your book. Like, when somebody thinks about writing a book, they think about 400 pages or like 300 pages, and it's really overwhelming. It's like a mountain. But then if you focus on doing just like one paragraph a day, if you ask anybody, I think that there was a similar kind of questionnaire. I think it was like not a study, but just asking people. So they asked them like, can you write a book? So people said no, like 99% said no, I can't write a book. And then they start to kind of lower the goal level. And then they start to ask them, can you write a chapter in a book? Some people like, so 60% said no, 40% yes. And they start to lower it until they stuck with, can you write one paragraph in a page a day? And guess what? 98% of people said, yes, of course I can write one paragraph. And then when you go back to like how many days, like in 1 year or less, you can write a book. And it's like just the same goal, but divided into small goals. It has a different impact than just looking at the mountain of, oh my God, that's so overwhelming. And it, like you said, it's a huge difference when you focus on the small parts, not just the end result.
Yes. And you will find, actually, I found most geniuses, this is what they do, exactly what you're mentioning right now. Mm-hmm. They take, and in my book, I actually go through a little bit of this, because I notice a lot of people, especially when they're aspiring entrepreneurs, they get hit an overwhelm. It's too many things. They're like, oh my God, I want to start a business. I got to get incorporated. I got to think a name. I got to do this. I got to do that. It's always overwhelming when you're considering the whole of the thing. But what I have started doing is segmenting off. I know I can't do all this right now. So I break everything down into what I just call digestible bites. And so whatever my goal is first gets broken down into its parts. And then once I get it to whatever the tiny enough thing is where I don't feel overwhelmed, I don't feel anxiety, I'm like, I can tackle this one thing. I tackle that. And then when I check that off, I tackle the next thing. Another thing I always recommend for people who get overwhelmed quickly or have a lot of high anxiety, because I do see we get that a lot now, is a do, doing, done board. That has been a big game changer for me, because it gives you one step back look at everything you're working on. So if you're working on a specific project, you can have the do column, which is just what you plan to do, what the goal is. The doing is what's in process. And then the done gives you a peek at what you've completed. And so you find yourself like, oh, I want to get more and more things to the done side. And it gets you focused on process, because to get it from do to doing, you have to do the process to get over there.
That's awesome, because it also gives you the feeling that there is progress, not just I'm doing stuff and I'm being busy, but I'm not actually being efficient or productive. So I love this piece of advice. So we're almost done with the episode. So can you tell us, or can you tell the audience, what they should focus on if they want to start today? So think of a business owner, a coach, a professional that wants to be on social media. That's not their thing. They're hesitant. They're a bit afraid. What's your message to them to start today, not tomorrow?
Today. Yeah, no, absolutely. Two things, actually. My first message is to remember, step into the shoes of your audience at their day one. That's literally where you want to go. You want to go where somebody is first encountering whatever is the genre that your focus is. Think about that person. That's how you want to gear your content. Your social media content should be constantly attracting a new audience. And a new audience is typically in a learning or they're digesting a lot of information phase. And you want to be that resource. So first, just making sure that you're making the content for that user so that they are attracted to you because you're that educational resource. And then the second thing is, don't overthink it. Like, literally just start making the videos. You don't know what you need to correct, honestly. Sometimes we get in our head, oh, I need to have this, mm-hmm. I need to have that. No, you need to have your face and a camera, which could be your phone. You don't need fancy equipment. You don't need the perfect lighting. What you need to do is get started. And once you get started, it will take you on a path that will not only develop your skills, but it will also let you know, okay, maybe we do want to invest in some better equipment or some better lighting. Maybe I do want to start looking at changing my attire, changing my hair or whatnot. But if you don't get started, nothing will ever get done.
I love it. That's a beautiful message. And if you're listening to this podcast or watching this video, it's exactly what you need to hear to start producing or creating content today. There is no better time than now. Like, maybe the best time was yesterday or a long time ago, but the second best one is now. Like, there's nothing better. So I really appreciate your advice. Can you share with us your social? What's your next project? And where can people find you, please?
Yeah. You can find me on all social media at Tenacity with Ivory Tenay.
We're going to put all the details in the show notes. So.
Yes, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and then upcoming projects. I just launched my second e-commerce store. That's the one that's been taking up a lot of time. So that is apparel line for toddlers. So kids from 1 to 5 years old. And so that's been our big push right now, focusing on that.
That's awesome. Thank you guys for watching the show. Ivory, it was a pleasure. And I really love your advice for content creators. I think a lot of people will benefit from what you said, get to work and start producing content. So thank you guys for watching and see you in the next one. Ivory, bye.
Bye.